Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 67. We're going to talk today about IBC crates. And before we get started, I'm Morgan Hayes, an assistant professor in biosystems and ag engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. And in my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky with my husband. It's a commercial cattle and hay operation.
And I'm Josh Jackson, assistant professor in biosystems and agriculture engineering as well, where I focus on precision livestock farming in my home life. I raise registered Angus cattle. We have some goat production also. Hey.
Okay, Josh. So IBC crates are going to be a very fun topic today.
Yep.
And we're currently sitting here on a Wednesday hoping that it rains later today. Some people got a little rain this morning, but
yep.
We're sort of patiently holding our hands together, trying to wish some rain into being.
So, yeah, I talked to Matt Dixon earlier, a little bit yesterday, and he said, you know, prior to hopefully whatever rain we get tonight, that it has been in the top five driest September's on record.
Yeah, it's been definitely fairly dry for the last few weeks. And we were hoping after last week's recording that we would get some rain, but we didn't yet. We're holding out for this week for some rain. Anyone out there that can do a rain dance for us, we'd appreciate it.
Very much appreciate it. So we ended up over the weekend getting a bunch of hay up. So Sunday, and I guess some Saturday as well. So we ended up getting 143 rolls.
Wow, that's big hay. Especially this year where hay's been pretty short.
So we had one field. I was like, well, it's all Johnson grass, but one field probably put out 20-acre field, put out 73 bales. But it was just, you know, a lot of Johnson grass. I'm like, well, we'll get what we can out of it.
Sure.
Put it in a hay ring and pop it whenever they're done. Let them root through it and get what they can.
Yep.
So that was kind of our big thing for the weekend. Didn't necessarily spread any manure like we had planned, but got the hay up.
Yeah, we put some square bales up last week on Thursday, so almost a full week ago now. And that hay was cut last time we recorded, so that was the last of our cutting for the year. So we are officially done. I'm not sure I'm happy we did it, but we did it anyway. We got about 2/3 of it was decent square bales, and about 1/3 of it was really poor. Plenty of broom sage.
Get that.
I mean, broom sage is always entertaining, but when you bale it, it's just like, it's like living in the middle of a dandelion. It's like. And it's not so bad on a round baler because you're always driving away from the dust cloud of materials, but the broom sage stuff, whatever those little pollen and whatever they are. But when you're doing it on a square baler, you're basically the person on the tractor. You're just pushing it back at the people on the wagon behind you.
Oh, it just becomes a horrible, you know, in addition to ragweed, it just becomes absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it's an allergen waiting to happen there, I think. So anyway, that was last week. Other than that, we had a fairly calm weekend. We worked on a couple small tasks. We had a birthday party for one of my kids, and we did put up some temporary fence to move some animals around to get some rotations done. It was a tough week calving-wise. We had something come dead, pulled it. It was still in the water bag, but the feet were out. We went and grabbed supplies. When we came back and pulled, it was already
gone.
So interesting, because the water bag was not broken yet.
But it's interesting.
Another animal that was not small. So frustrating, but is what it is. It's part of farming. So yep.
Part of the risk we take.
Yep. And aside from that, I don't think we've been doing too much else. We're getting ready to start feeding some hay to some groups.
Okay.
We have not yet had to do it, but we can only be about a week out at this point on one of our farms.
Open. We've been feeding hay, like I said, for a while now to our big group. But yeah. We're still waiting for some of our spring groups. They've been doing what they can on certain fields.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see. I did have some self-rotate to one. I've been holding them off a couple fields. They self-rotated because I guess the ground got so dry that posts separate enough from the slam latch.
Oh.
That it, the posts, you know, it had pretty good little separation by the time you got towards the top. And I walk out, my dog's barking. Like, she never barks at anything or anybody. And so I go out there and she's actually barking at cows. So and then they went from the field and were coming into the yard.
There you go.
So that was a Sunday morning surprise, you know.
Yeah, always something to keep you on your toes. So that's sort of what's been happening on the farm. We've got plenty more coming in the next couple weeks, but that's in a long. But the topic today is IBC crates, and this topic came about because last week we were discussing something else, and we almost went off on a tangent about IBC crates and how much we love them. You know, people always joke that engineers build things with duct tape and ingenuity, and for those of us who farm, IBC crates fall in this category of one of the most useful things
that you can have. Yeah, and it's you know, for us, you know, we were talking last week about, you know, moving water. You know, those IBC crates are actually how we water our goats in certain fields. So we'll take, you know, a fresh, clean supply of water. And so we'll take those, fill them up, and set them on a hill, then run a hose down a little ways and let that supply a little water for the goats, and just have to keep an eye on the water level.
Yep.
But, you know, they're not consuming as much as the cows. But we have used those IBC crates to transport water for cows. If we have a group where they're on a farm and something happens to the water, we can take the IBC crate, make a couple trips, but fill up some tanks that way.
Yeah. An IBC crate, for anyone who doesn't know, it's something that has a metal cage on it, and that it has usually a clear or slightly white plastic innard. Sometimes they turn sort of a yellowish color. They're used a lot of times for moving fluids. So sometimes a chemical, sometimes they're used for an herbicide or a pesticide. They're used for a number of transports. If you do use an IBC crate, you want to find one that's pretty clean inside. And then you want to, if you purchase one that's been used for something else before, you want to flush it a number of times before you would transport water in it. That would just be a sort of a warning for people out there. But there are some that are used to transport things as simple as water or like a mineral oil or something like that. And there's just really not a lot of hazard in reusing those.
Yeah.
Some of them are used to carry things that are a little more toxic, and want to be a little more cognizant of what you're using it for if it was used for that previously.
Yeah, it's definitely a buyer beware. So beware of if it's off of Craigslist, maybe, as opposed to if I get it at a store or somewhere where I can ask questions like, what did this have in it, and get an honest answer.
Yeah, and also, I mean, there are, you can purchase them that have not had anything in them yet. That's also an option. They are a little more expensive that way, though. So not a lot more expensive that way. So just something to be aware of as you move forward, if that's something you're interested in. So,
and you know, we really like the fact that you can, you know, we can water animals, we can be dynamic with it. Sometimes even just if it is a level surface, we'll just set it on pallets and then have it run down to water a goat. And so it's a good way to move, you know, a fair amount of water. And so you just have to be sure that your tractor, whatever you're moving with, can handle it. And so that's what we were kind of mentioning last time, was we had to have a dot on there for, we're using a 3-point hitch on our pallet forks on our tractor. There's a certain point where it gets to that point of balance where if we fell above this, we would lose steering on our front end.
Yeah, no, I can completely understand that. Yeah, we have a couple animals that are on spots where the water is hauled in, just because we only want to pay for so many water meters on our farms. This is like a small 3-acre area, so it's not large enough to justify having another meter turned on year round for 3 acres. It's just not practical for us.
Yeah.
So that area, we haul water across the road, and it's literally across the road. So we're only moving it about 50, 60 feet. I've seen people run a hose that far, but it seems like a bad idea to run a hose across the road and let the cars drive over it. So instead, what we do is when we haul the water across the road, we do it with an IBC. When we do that, we now use the back of one of our farm trucks for it. So we leave it in the bed of the truck. That gives us enough elevation that we can just let it feed out by gravity without any real issues. When that is not in use, which has been often in the last couple of years because the truck's been fighting us, we use the skid steer for it, because the skid steer is much better at carrying a filled IBC crate, which is about 350 gallons, whereas a tractor, we could only put in about 150 gallons, maybe 200, depending on which tractor we're using. Ours always goes on a front loader because that's where our pallet forks fit best. We don't use one on the 3-point. So we have the opposite problem as you. You end up picking up your front wheels and not being able to turn. We don't have enough weight in the back end, and that's really dangerous. So for sure, I mean, and just the hydraulics you know, are challenged more than they should be. And yes. The last thing we want to do is blow out a hydraulic cylinder by putting too much weight on a loader.
I've seen people do that before.
On a front loader. So that's not our goal. Our goal is instead to make things work better on the farm and not break more things than we already do. So
okay,
that's sort of how we operate. Water, though, is probably the most obvious use of an IBC crate on a farm. What else are you using an IBC crate for?
So we're also using it for some transport of our big materials. So we got, potentially, I guess the next biggest item is going to be for wood.
Yep.
So it's going to be for wood if we have, we're splitting wood, logs, whatever it may be, we split it directly, like we go out there, cut our tree up, split it directly there, then put it into the IBC crate. And so it helps us, you know, get these manageable units of wood we can put up next to the house, so we don't have that wood that potentially might have bugs in it or something bad, you know, right sitting right there next to our house.
Yep.
To threaten our foundation and everything else. So we just have that so we can have it away from the house, and when we need it, we can move it closer. So it does seem to be fairly handy when we're actually, you know, just accumulating wood, and we kind of know how many crates we need to survive winter as well.
Yeah, we stack wood in one as well. On the farm, that's really convenient, but also 3 IBC crates for us when we stack some that's already been split properly seems to be around 1/4 of wood.
Okay.
So that's sort of a nice number there. You have to be pretty good at stacking to get 3 IBCs to equal out to about 1/4. If you just dump it in there, that's not going to fit. But if you if you carefully stack it in there, it will fit about that much. If you're doing this, though, we take all the plastic out except that we cut the bottom and leave the plastic in the very bottom to sort of collect those small pieces so that we don't have lots of little pieces of wood all over the ground right near the house.
Right.
And we do what you do. We bring one up at a time. It's a reasonable amount to go through at a time without leaving wood that could potentially bring bugs up against the side of the house. We also store them in... We have some semi-trailers, so we can store them in a semi-trailer to cure them out.
Oh, yeah.
So we will put them in dry and put them out of the way. And then when we pull them out and put them by the house, they're dry. So we don't even have really wet wood or the breakdown. And so sometimes if we're building up our wood supply faster than we're using it, that keeps us from having everything okay.
And I guess you guys do this as well, cut the little slot in there. So it's easier to grab the wood from the bottom. Do you cut a little slot in the side or you leave it all the way?
Yeah, on the metal crate itself, we will open up one side back far enough that we can reach down to the bottom. If we don't do that, it's still doable. It's just that you would want to have larger pieces of wood to be able to reach in there and grab them. But that's sort of a personal preference.
Yeah, and it's just whatever works for you. If you're unloading, it's whatever works for you.
That's right.
At the end of the day, what else do you guys use it for?
Sometimes we use it. This is an interesting, this is not exactly the best use for one, but we've used it as a windbreak before.
Really?
Yeah. When we had some really poor weather, like in a March type of storm event, and we didn't have hay that we wanted to put right up against where cattle were going to be up against a barn or something, we would use like IBC crates to create a break in a barn, in a hoop barn. I shouldn't say that. Not in a barn with solid metal sides, because then there would naturally be a break. But in like a hoop barn, we wanted those calves to be able to come in and creep into an area. We actually set up some IBC crates, put a little bit of weight into them with some water, not filling them to the top to freeze and have issues, but putting a little bit of water in them so that they had some weight to them so they wouldn't blow over, and stacked them too tall.
Hmm.
And that actually worked pretty well. That was a pretty good windbreak without having to use bales of hay that then the cows were going to eat at, and then they wouldn't be sellable. So it was, I don't know if that was the best use, but it actually was fairly effective. And especially for young calves, that was in a group that we had in like mid-March when we were calving. So they were, you know, week old type calves that were on the ground and
definitely needed some protection.
And they needed protection. It was, you know, it was a 40-degree day raining, going down to sleet and, you know, to 20. And then it was one of those types of situations. And they worked great for that purpose.
You know, for us, you know, we found another purpose. You know, you mentioned the calves. We actually put a hen. We cut the back out. So we actually took most of the plastic out, but we left the top on. So we left the top piece of plastic on. And so then we cut a slot, a notch in the back and put hinges on it. So we made it a door in the back. And so then we put it on the back of our Kawasaki. We got a little place if we want to catch a calf, throw it in there, then take it to the house kind of thing.
Oh, so if you've got a sick or injured animal, you could use it as a carrier for... A
calf carrier. So it's automatically enclosed. So it's got the little cage. And so we just had to cut it. So we put a door on there. Throw your calf in there. And so that's worked great for us. Because it used to be we're on the back
that someone had to bear hug the calf that was
fighting
you. Bear hug
the calf on the back of the pallet for.
Yeah, and then the cow's trying to headbutt you the whole way back to the house, too. So that's a very interesting idea. I've never tried building it into a...
So we tried it. It seemed to work. We like the idea of it. Because I mean, we've used it a number of times whenever we do get a sick calf, just because it's so handy. You throw the calf in, lock it up, the cow follows you. And so then you just rock and roll.
That's a great idea.
It takes, we still take two people out there with us, but it makes it a lot less of a hassle. The other person's opening gates and making sure the cow is moving with us.
I love that. That's a great idea. That sounds like a really convenient use for one, and not one that I'd ever thought of.
So it's definitely worked for us. And so it's like, I've seen a lot of farmers have to be kind of think of what you have and what you need, what task you need to accomplish. And sometimes like, well, this works.
Interesting. That's a great idea. Yeah, no, I've never used one like that. We actually use a number of ours for more like storage things. So I've never thought about using it sort of on that temporary basis to.
It definitely was a necessity. It was one of those, we needed a better way to do it. And people get frustrated. We're like, why don't we need a cage? I was like, well, there's a cage. We just cut it and make a door in the back and leave the lid, plastic lid for the top. So they can't, sure. If they did try to hop jelly bean or hop out, whatever they were going to do, they couldn't. So it's mainly, and then they're usually sick, so it's mainly just a deterrent.
Huh. Pretty cool. We use ours for recycling. Huh. We use ours for aluminum cans. Some people just, send all their recycling off with the trash truck, but we, because we're in the country and it's a pain in the butt, we take ours to the transfer station, but then our metal recycling we take to the yard to recycle.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really... If I'm being 100% honest, it's not cost effective to go driving up there with a bag of cans to take aluminum off and get paid for it. So we use an IBC crate. In fact, we use two of them. And when we fill two of them up, we take two IBC crates filled with crushed aluminum cans off and get paid for them. They fit nicely in the back of the truck. They're pretty easy to dump and discharge. We just take the plastic off of the top of those, but leave the sides plastic all the way up. It works great, and we have a pretty known amount of weight when we get there.
Yeah.
So that works really good. We'll also use it for larger scrap. So if we have larger scrap, it's a perfect thing to put metal into just so it doesn't tear other things up. I've never really used it for trash because I try and get my trash off often enough that I don't have that issue. But for some of those things that are just a little bit less convenient to haul off to the recycling yard, that's one of the.
Okay. Yeah, we never really used it for we've used it for scrap metal.
Yeah.
Have you really thought about using it for cans though?
Yeah, it's a very convenient thing because two of those fit comfortably in the back of the truck, and that's plenty of cans to take off to justify the trip.
Yes.
I know some people think you might never get that many cans, but if you had a Diet Pepsi habit like I do, you'd understand that happens with some regularity.
Fairly
not
quickly.
Not quickly, but not that quickly, Josh. Not that bad yet. I still drink some other things like water, just to balance out my caffeine habit that comes from the Diet Pepsi.
Okay.
No ads here.
No ads.
Just a personal preference.
No ads, just personal preference.
Yeah. So
that's an interesting use. And other than that, we've tried to use some just mainly for just transporting some of our bigger materials. If it's just a bulk material, if it's a bulk material we have to transport, sometimes we'll put seed in there as well.
Yep, seed is a good point.
Seed. Haven't really used it for feed very much, but we have thought about using it for feed, just kind of as a temporary storage. Put a little bit in there. If we want to have it at a different farm, put the lid back on, rig the lid on as best we can. But yeah, they're fairly dynamic. What we need them for is mainly that water transport, but they're fairly dynamic. I don't know if you use them for anything else as well or not.
No, I think those are the main uses is just carrying things. For us, wood, scrap metal, and then that use of them as a windbreak was one of those ones that I didn't really ever expect, but it actually has worked pretty well a couple times. I know some people will put hay bales in the field to try and create a windbreak, but sometimes with our high sales and our goals on the farm, we don't necessarily want to lose 8 or 10 bales. And it can be pretty costly, especially on a year like this where hay is very expensive. It's probably not cost effective to go buy that many IBC crates if you don't already have them sitting on your farm. You just hoard them.
Yeah, it's not effective to buy them as windbreak, right? If you already have them for...
For other purposes, then it's not a bad use. Yeah, the one thing I will say, the other thing, the IBC crate, they have a metal frame on the bottom of them. That's what you can pick up with the pallet forks. And some of them have more of like a plastic base on them.
You want the metal frame.
Well, you know, I'm okay with both of them. I think they have different uses, but certainly you want to be aware of which one you're using and what pallet forks you're using. Because you can really damage either of them by having the wrong pallet attached to them. But you can also, you know, if you have an IBC crate, this is just a tip for anyone out there, and the bottom has started to disattach, you can just put a regular pallet back under it and screw it back down, or strap it back down with some metal straps, which is not a bad option.
Yeah. You know,
that's usually the part that goes bad on them is the base.
Yep.
And you do have the option to take them off and put them onto a pallet, but a wood pallet that you put them on is probably also going to deteriorate because it's going to end up in the mud too. But we have actually changed out the base on them.
Just buy a little more time. We have used, we actually use those big, we have a couple of, not the wooden pallets, but the smaller plastic pallets we use in the field a lot. So if it's the goat, actually, we'll put the plastic pallets out. Because like you said, the wooden pallets sitting there on the ground, it just slowly pushes it down and just degrades.
Right. Yep. So that's sort of an interesting fact for people. So familiar with them, they are a fairly useful tool on the farm. Surprising how often we grab one and use it.
Yep. I mean, we like all the time for the goats. It's just very handy. We have pond water available for them, but we want to make sure we have a clean water source for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, okay, with all that said on the IBC crates, let's give everyone a quick update on what's happening on farm system.
So we're going to try to. So hopefully the rain's coming through, get a decent amount of rain. If we do get the amount of rain, maybe in half an inch or whatever it may be, I'm going to hold off. And I got a couple of fields I'm waiting for the cows to go into and graze. Okay. They're still going to be fairly productive. Those are the ones I applied the fertilizer to, so that they should, with the rain, they still look good, but they could take off, I think, with this rain. And so get a couple, 2 or 3 weeks before that big whatever freeze is coming. I know it's coming here soon, so whenever next month or so, whenever that comes, we'll be ready.
That'd be good. Yeah, we'll start feeding hay here in the next week or so. That's probably going to happen regardless of whether or not the rain comes through. We're going to start planning. I have some travel in October that I have to do for work, taking the family with me, so we're preparing for that. So we've got about 2 weeks in early October, the end of this week, and then 2 weeks in October before we go out. On a road trip. So figuring out exactly what we're feeding, how long we're feeding, figuring out if we're going to wean calves before we leave or when we get back. We were originally anticipating doing it when we get back, but maybe from a hay management strategy, it's better to feed them separately, the cows and the calves,
okay,
and wean them just before we go. So
going to do any planting this fall? I know it's been so dry, and now if we finally get some rain, do you think about doing any planting here? We've contemplated it.
We thought about throwing wheat out, and we may still. This first rain, we're not going to do anything before it. It's so dry. If this first rain comes in and it looks like we're going to get more rainstorms following it, we will at least broadcast wheat into some of our backfields that we tend to have some weed pressure in. Because they're surrounded by cropland, so they tend to get a lot of weed pressure from those areas that don't get winter cover. So those areas might get some wheat. But aside from that, I think we would have liked to have sown some orchard grass, but we're late enough the year that I probably won't sow it this year. I will probably wait until next year and see what happens. We did actually not do any late cutting on it in hopes that with the drought that we didn't knock it back further. It's getting a little bit of age on it. The stand is about 5 years old at this point, which is about when I would like to reseed, but it'll make it another year if it has to.
All right, just as long as you take care of it.
Exactly. And with that, I think probably the end of our podcast for today.
Yep. See you next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.